Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Nolan and Eric.
Welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. I'm Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong, and I'm joined by Nolan Haig, as always. You can find him on Twitter at NJH09. And, what a crazy last day in NBA we had last Wednesday. And we're going to get set. We're going to talk about that tonight, and we're going to get set to begin our first half of our NFL mock draft. So that's pretty fun. And are you pretty excited about that? Because I am.
Yeah. It's been an exciting last week here. Like you said, Kobe, the Warriors, NBA playoffs starting, but the NFL draft, the real one, is on its way. I got another nephew today, so everything's kind of crazy.
Yeah, congrats on that. I meant to say that earlier. I forgot. Yeah, so four now.
Yeah, that's a lot, and they're all boys.
Yeah, so
I'm gonna put a basketball team out here pretty soon.
You are. You're gonna have maybe a football.
One away.
So yeah, but it's we only really want to talk about Kobe and the Warriors here, right?
Yeah, and then I figured if, you know, we wanted to talk a little bit about the playoffs, we could.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. So let's get going here. Kobe said his farewell, and he did it in a pretty Kobe way. 60 points on 50 shots. I know we were joking around talking about how it'd be cool if he scored 50, and he goes out, he gets 60, so, and a win. He hit the dagger that gave him the lead back in the fourth quarter with 30 seconds left. I thought it was great to see. I know it was only their 17th win on the season, not a good team, not a good season, but I really thought that was a pretty cool way to go out for Kobe.
It was definitely the Kobe-est way to go out. Like you said, 50 shots, of course, broke the record for most shot attempts in a game. I don't know. It always felt like that should be Kobe Bryant's record anyway, right? But yeah, no, he wasn't shooting the ball well. Really is just, you know, a product of them just giving him the ball over and over again. 6 of 21 on threes, but as you mentioned earlier, he did hit two of them down the stretch there to pull the Lakers back in the season that the Lakers as a franchise probably kind of want to forget, but definitely not a night that anybody's going to forget anybody anytime soon.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I didn't think he came out, he shot 0 of 5 to begin. I was kind of thinking, oh, great, this is going to be in one of those bad games for Kobe. Might not see him too much tonight, but he really rode the ship. And I thought he actually the rest of the way went 22 of 45, almost 50% from the field. So he did go 6 of 21 from downtown. But Yeah, from inside the paint, I thought he shot the ball really well. Hit a lot of his vintage turnarounds, and yeah, I thought it was just great to see him out there and seeing him do what he did. Really didn't mean anything, so why not let him have 50 shots?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how good a defense the Jazz are playing. I mean, they might not have been completely into it just because they got eliminated from the playoffs right before the game even started. But I also think there might be a little bit of a Quinn Snyder conspiracy, seeing as how he was on the Lakers bench for a while back in the day. But I'm gonna let all that go. Let Kobe have his night, since, you know, it was gonna happen. He had his going away tour, and because that seems to be the thing to do now when you're Derek Jeter, Kobe Bryant level athlete. But I don't know, some other funny things I thought that were kind of cool. He actually finished, one of the last plays he had was that full assist. Which, hey, an assist. He had actually had four of them. That was pretty neat. And is his first 50-point game since 2009.
Oh, yeah. Crazy. Yeah. A couple of those seasons are injury-plagued, but still.
Yeah.
It's insane.
That's
a long time ago.
We were in high school in 2009.
All right. Wow. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think that he, I don't know. That was the most Kobe night ever, especially his little interview at the end. Drops the mic. Just great to see. Always been a fan of Kobe, and it's gonna be weird not to see him out there anymore. And but I'm excited to see what. Maybe this will actually give some confidence and help some of the kids that they have there, like D'Angelo Russell and Jordan Clarkson, Julius Randle, really the only three I think will stick around for the long term. But Lakers have a lot of work to do to be competing once again. Who knows what kind of splash maybe they can make in free agency. But, yeah, it's going to be a long time before they're ever – back to where Kobe brought them for so many years. So it's going to be sad to see him go.
Yeah, that's definitely another thing that's kind of disappointing in all this is that I mean, the team is so bad around him as it ended. I mean, yeah, part of it's not exactly, you know, like you said, dude, he had some injuries, things he couldn't exactly control, but yeah, you would have hoped or would have expected him to go out maybe on a higher note, at least maybe at least in the playoffs or something. But you know, yeah, it's not how it goes sometimes. Michael Jordan definitely came back and played for the Wizards, so nobody's perfect, I guess.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that 50-point game was the first since Michael Jordan did it went on the Wizards. So by the oldest player to do it since Michael Jordan on the Wizards. So yeah.
Also kind of cool that Shaq actually showed up and was cool about it.
Yeah, I loved his quote at the end. So
right,
I thought
yes,
that was pretty good.
Of course.
There were actually another couple of records that were broken. Or extended, I should say, that night. And that was happening at the same exact time. It was Golden State Warriors taking care of business in Memphis. I know before the game last week we said our only concern was if we thought Curry would get to 400 threes. He actually got to 402. He had six threes. He needed eight to get to 400, and he hit six of them in the first quarter. So, say he was off to a pretty hot start, and he only played three quarters as well.
He got to 400 early in the third quarter, real early, and yeah, no, it was. And oh, and another thing, speaking to that about not playing the fourth quarter, he actually ended the season with with the lowest minutes per game for the NBA's leading scorer ever.
Yep.
Yeah, which is just ridiculous. Because, yeah, no, just imagine what he could have done if he'd actually played half the fourth quarters.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. He could average at least 40.
He could have had 600 threes.
True.
Man. That's ridiculous.
I don't know.
I'm just running out of things to be impressed about.
Yeah, he's pretty impressive what he's been doing this season. He actually, one thing I saw, he started the season 55th on the all-time three-point career three-pointers made. He sits at 19th now after the season.
Oh, yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, so he jumped 36 spots, yeah, in one season. So pretty impressive.
Think about how many Hall of Famers he probably passed.
Yeah, and great shooters that we've seen.
Right.
I definitely don't think there's anyone better. So right now, and should definitely be good to see. Just need him to get those ankles healed up here.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, that's another thing. I mean, it doesn't look like they're going to really need him to beat Houston, but he's definitely going to need to rest up if they're going to win the title. They definitely need him for that.
Yeah, I wish we had enough time to talk about Houston and what's going on there, but yeah, 45-minute show is just not long enough. It's just remarkable to me how far they've fallen from last season. I actually thought they were going to get better, and that's definitely not been the case. So, definitely doesn't look like the Warriors are really going to need him. I still think he plays in Game 3. I don't know how much, but he had an MRI today, and it was all negative. So that's definitely a good sign.
Yes. As for Houston, I'd say that's got to be some sort of combination of just Dwight Howard being Dwight Howard and the base god curse.
That can't be real, because then KD's never won in a title.
Hey, I don't know. I don't make the rules for curses.
I guess not. But
just looks pretty convincing at this point.
Yeah. So was there anything you want to talk about the playoffs? First games have been kind of blowouts. I think there's a big discrepancy in teams here. So
yeah, that was I mean, the only other thing that I really had was maybe two things. One thing is we shouldn't be worried about the Thunder, right? After KD's unfortunate game.
No, I don't think so. I kind of liked it. I mean, he's been like 7-25 before, and he'll kind of just stop shooting at that point, and that's when Westbrook will take over. I like that he stayed aggressive and he kept shooting the ball. Because he's not going to shoot like that every game. And he did force some shots, but no, I don't think there's anything to be worried about. Before the series started, I thought the Mavs would get one. Didn't think it'd be an OKC, but I don't think there's really too much to be worried about. Kind of bad at closing games still. That's to be seen. So that could become a concern for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be that bad.
He shot that bad, and they still almost had a chance to win. So
right, no, yeah, that's the other thing. They still, yeah, it's not going to hurt them, at least not against Dallas.
Yeah, no, Yeah, can't have that kind of game in the next round. I know a lot of people are giving a lot of hard times for the West in this first round so far, but just imagine what the second round and the Western Conference Finals is going to be like. It's going to be great. I think we're going to have some long series in the next couple rounds if all things go right, unless Golden State just doesn't want to lose. So should be pretty good though.
Yeah. I'm just worried about this whole Steph ankle thing, because if he tries to come back and something bad happens, then everything's up for grabs, and it becomes fascinating, but it's also kind of a shame that you don't get that team in there. But
yeah, no, I agree. But I hope they're healthy, so we'll have to see. So yeah, not going to really go over other picks here, but this week I went 3-2, got my upset. You went 5-0, so you got your upset as
well.
What?
Boom.
Yeah, you now have a 7-game advantage. So there's that.
Man.
And we're going to be taking a break from hot picks for the next couple of weeks while we do these mock drafts. So.
All right. Well, I guess we should get into the draft then. Since
let's do it.
It is nearly upon us. Kind of feels like it kind of snuck up this year.
Definitely. I can't believe it's just been a week, so it should be pretty exciting.
All right. Well, obviously we got the most recent or most biggest piece of most recent news is, of course, the Rams trading up to get to that into number one spot. Tennessee was more than happy to part with it after the Rams gave away basically everything. I think the Rams have six – or the Rams, the Titans now have six picks in the top 76 picks in the draft, which, I mean, that sounds like something you would do on Madden in franchise. But that's just obviously a lot of options. You can fill a lot of holes with that. You can build around this young roster you're developing, and definitely get or even trade back and just all sorts of possibilities now for Tennessee. I really like what they did. I don't really like what the Rams did. I don't think any one of these top two quarterbacks are trading up for to number one. At least not back where the Rams were. That's a whole other deal on those quarterbacks. What did you think about the whole trade and what the Rams, do you like what the plan is?
I think they just did it because they moved to Los Angeles. They wanted a guy for fans to come out and see. But they're not going to be able to build around him. They'll pick number one, and then they'll pick what, 141? Is that right? 141 after that?
Right, but I think the law or the thought behind it. Well, okay, I don't. I think how they're going to sell it is that we made that trade all those years ago to build the roster. Now we've got playmakers on both sides of the ball, quote unquote. We've got Aaron Donald and we've got Todd Gurley and fill in the blank, whoever else, and that's how they're gonna run with it. Now we're gonna get a cheap quarterback who's young and talented who's not gonna have to do a crazy amount of stuff, just be good enough, and that's how it. And it could totally work like that. But I think that because of the move and everything being forced to make this big splashy move, and Jeff Fisher's, God help him, still trying to keep the job going 8-8 here. And I feel like it's a little bit of desperation. I feel like it might be forced upon the coaching staff. They may be kind of a Vince Young situation. Jeff Fisher might not even want quarterbacks, but is just doing it out of necessity.
Well, Jeff Fisher goes first this time.
Yeah. Which, that's hopefully you're right, because he's proven a lot of people wrong, well, me wrong at least, a lot lately. But all right, any other kind of general things we want to go into before we start this, or I don't know, how do you want to do it?
I do hope the Rams take Jalen Ramsey, though. That would be hilarious to me.
Yeah, just or Joey Bosa, that'd make even less sense.
Yeah, that would. So no, yeah, we did a coin flip, and I won the coin toss, but I am gonna take evens, and you're gonna take odds. So you're gonna have the first pick here. I figured we could just make pick and kind of talk about why we think that's who they're gonna select. So if we want to kick it
all
off,
right,
we'll get to the 16th pick, and we'll end it there tonight.
Yeah. All right. Well, here we go. I guess I'm the Rams. I've traded up, traded this year, basically this year's draft and next year's draft for this pick. So yeah, I have to take a quarterback. Basically got to be down between Jared Goff and
Carson Wentz.
Yeah, Carson Wentz. There we go. I guess you know who I'm going to pick. When it comes to Wentz, I have concerns that I guess we might get to later, seeing as how he might go later. I'm going to pick Jared Goff. I think any size concerns about him are kind of overblown. He's big enough frame-wise to play. He's similar in body type to a lot of NFL quarterbacks. His hands aren't small or anything. Like, he'll be fine. He can make all the throws. He doesn't have a huge arm or anything, but he definitely looks more like an NFL quarterback than any of the other quarterbacks in this draft. He has some natural pocket awareness, and he does a lot of stuff, a lot of things that a quarterback in today's NFL should be able to do, outside of just having the physical talent or the physical size. He makes his progressions, and he probably needs to improve on some consistency with his accuracy, and fumbling might be an issue, but I mean, what quarterback isn't going to be a fumbling risk if they get hit?
All
so
right.
That's what I got. Jared Goff, quarterback, Cal.
All right. That's who I tend to think that they're going to take here. You're going to bring the Cal guy to his home state. So doesn't get much easier to get fans around you than that, I guess. So,
yep.
I've got the Cleveland Browns here with the second pick. I actually think that the Browns might trade this pick, but I assume that we're just going to go by with how the order is right now. So with the second pick,
I mean, if you wanted to trade with one of your other picks, I guess it doesn't really matter, but we don't have to complicate it.
No. So,
all right.
The Cleveland Browns are going to take Carson Wentz, and I think it's going to be a mistake. I think if the Browns can, I think they should trade back, and I think that this draft has some pretty good players in it and a lot of depth, and I think that some team would offer them a crazy package, maybe even the Eagles, because I think the Eagles want one of these quarterbacks, but we'll have to see. Yeah, I took Wentz here. I like Wentz as a quarterback, but Cleveland hasn't had the best luck with quarterbacks, as we know. They just signed RG3. Who knows what that does to his psyche or whatever. But can't really think about that either. If you really think that Wentz is the future of potentially the future of your team. So Wentz is a big guy. Big hands. He has some pretty good accuracy. Did great in his pro days. Question is obviously with level competition, though. He played teams like Missouri State, and I watched Missouri State, and they're not very good. So, yeah, that's my biggest concern with them.
Yeah, as far as what I obviously Carson Wentz, he looks like, you know, Mr. Quarterback, like through and through. And he's got a cannon for an arm. He can make the throws down the sidelines. He can really, yeah, really do whatever you want. But the problem with me is that his footwork just doesn't look good, especially when he's pressured. Everything breaks down. He can save a lot of stuff with his arm, but those opportunities are probably going to become fewer and far between in the NFL. And, yeah, like you said, the level of competition, his whole team was so good that it makes you worry that, you know, he's not just like a FCS version of A.J. McCarron, only he looks more like a quarterback. And that's very scary to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's you can't go by the looks of them. You kind of have to have some production in there as well. So, it's going to be interesting. I tend not to like really any of these quarterbacks in this draft, so I kind of hope the Eagles stay where they're at and hope one of these defensive backs fall to them, but who knows.
All right, well, now I guess I'm the Chargers and I'm on the call.
You are.
One of those defensive backs is not going to fall because I'm going to have to take Jalen Ramsey, the defensive back from Florida State. I say defensive back because you could really play him anywhere. Probably going to want to play him at safety, though. I feel like the Chargers have a lot of good players on paper all around that team, but they've definitely could use help in the secondary, especially at safety, and that'd be a great piece to add for them. I would rather them not, but it seems like the smart pick to make. So, what do you got? Anything for Jalen Ramsey?
Yes, I really like Jalen Ramsey. I really somehow hope he falls, but it's not going to happen. And I think he'd be great with the Eagles. Kind of do what Malcolm Jenkins does right now. But, I like him. I like him a lot. I think he's going to be a really good football player for a lot of years. So whatever team winds up with him, I think that they're going to have a guy that is – going to be great for years and be a Pro Bowler. So
the AFC West got two and makes too many and from Kansas City. So Jones.
All right. Well, with the fourth pick, Dallas Cowboys, I take Matty Mock. No, I'm just kidding. I think that the Cowboys are going to take Joey Bosa. If Ramsey's off the board at this point, I think that Bosa is the next guy in line here. Replace Greg Hardy. They took Randy Gregory last year. He's going to be suspended the first four games because of substance abuse. So, which was the concern coming out of college and the reason why he fell. So, yeah, I think that they look to help their pass rush here and take Joey Bosa.
Yeah, I think that's a great fit. Like you said, he just kind of steps right in and takes over at defensive end. He's probably been the quote unquote best player in the draft since last year. Super productive, just a lot of things to like about him. Just a a really good player, and don't want to say the word, but seems to be a pretty safe pick for a defensive end. And yeah, it definitely do a lot of good for the Cowboys. Get some pass rush back into that defense.
So, I guess we got next here. We got the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are used to being up here. So let's go.
Yeah, they're trying to work their way out of the top five. But yeah, here we go. They've been getting a lot of people in free agency to kind of keep rebuilding Gus Bradley, you know, trying to save his job. But they look like they have a lot of pieces in place. It just all needs to come together. I think the offense can be good if they can continue to get if Blake Bortles continues to progress. They got those big play wide receivers. I think on defense they're kind of just missing one key guy, and that guy is Miles Jack from UCLA. I feel same thing as Jalen Ramsey, only at a linebacker, which makes it that much more do it all. He can play wherever they ask. I know there's concerns about his knee, but I feel like Jacksonville needs a player now, and he can be that guy. And if he can take that defense to the next level, then by all means, take him.
All right, yeah, a bit of a shocker. I actually had them slated to take a defensive player, but someone a little different. But, Miles Jack, pretty good pick. So there are concerns with his knee, so we'll have to see where that how that ends up. But if all things work out with him, I think he'll be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember where I saw it, but I saw a report about how it's basically looking like the concern would be more like 6 to 8 years down the road as opposed to immediately or anything, as long as everything goes as it should. But yeah, hopefully everything all works out for him. And just honorable mention also for Jalen Smith too. Hopefully he's all right and we get to see him playing.
Yeah, most definitely. So, all right. With the sixth pick here, we got a team from a team that's used to picking in the top 10 to a team that's not used to picking in the top 10, the Baltimore Ravens. With the sixth pick, I am taking DeForest Buckner out of Oregon. 291, he's been really productive for Oregon, and not a guy who a lot of people probably know, including myself. I didn't really know too much about him until this draft process was taking place. But he's big, could replace Terrell Suggs, who's only getting older, has had some injuries here. So, I think they're going to look to rebuild that defense. They tried to with Matt Elam when, Reed left. And so I think you're going to do the same thing here. I'm taking Buckner, but doing a little early. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that also. You know, a lot of upside there. The Ravens to seem to know what they're doing when it comes to drafting, at least on the defensive side of the ball. Tim take over. The upside's definitely there to be that freak athlete, Terrell Suggs type. So. All right. Guess next. Now, Chip Kelly-led 49ers. And a lot of questions surrounding them.
Did you just
throw
that in there at me?
No. Well, maybe a little bit. Well, that's it's part of where I'm kind of – you got a lot of questions – what's going on. Is Kaepernick going to be there? Is what exactly is Chip Kelly going to do with a roster that's already kind of gutted? That's another interesting thing because he doesn't get to tear it down. So I don't know. I feel like they could use obviously in a lot of places, but. And yeah, just so he gets some good defenders, and I'm gonna go with my best available defensive back, and that is Vernon Hargraves from Florida. You were going to take him. I bet you were.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's one pick ahead, isn't it?
Yep.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I wasn't even thinking. Yeah, that's how. But no, yeah, Vernon Hargraves, he can play outside or the slot. His size might be a hindrance to him in staying outside, but worst case scenario, he could be a dominant on the inside. And if you want to talk about him a little more, I feel like you feel a little more strongly about him.
No, I don't care anymore now. So just move on.
Oh, all right, good. Well, Chip has him now, so I'm sure that makes you feel better.
No, I really liked Hargraves ever since I saw him at Florida. Both these top corners, or defensive backs, I guess, in this draft, I really like, and I think are going to be Pro Bowlers. I think Hargraves, his biggest problem is obviously going to be his height, but I think he's still going to make big plays. And be able to be a decent lockdown defender. He might struggle with some taller guys, but I don't know. I will have to see because he is athletic and he can get up there.
I don't want to make like a direct comparison, but you could still, you know, guys like Brandon Flowers can be 5'10" or whatever and still be successful as outside backs. Or 5'9".
Yeah, most definitely. I was actually going to say he kind of reminds me of Brandon Flowers. He's a little bigger than Flowers, but or at least on paper, I guess. So, let's see.
Yeah. Who really knows?
Yeah.
You can't just stand people next to each other. But anyway.
No. All right. Well,
here you go.
I got the 8th pick here, Philadelphia Eagles. Was hoping one of those defensive backs fell to me. That didn't happen. But a guy who was number one on a lot of draft boards is still sitting there. So not really a need for the Eagles at this point. But I'm going to take Laremy Tunsil out of Ole Miss. Jason Peters is only getting older. Injuries starting to pile up with him as well. You could have a pretty good line to be able to build around with Lane Johnson and Laremy Tunsil. You could even throw Lane in the middle if you wanted and put Tunsil and Peters outside until Peters is gone. So, yeah, I think that's who they're going to take. And also you need to protect Bradford back there. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely, I agree. I mean, he's the best tackle in the draft. I mean, maybe this is just us picking back and forth, but I don't see him really even last until 8, to be honest. I figure somebody's going to just be stuck at the point where he's just too good to pass up. Apparently, he's, you know, I'm not going to pretend to know the intricacies of offensive line play, but he's supposedly this, you know, once in a however many years prospect. And yeah, if he falls almost out of the top 10, nobody's going to blame you for taking him.
Yeah, no, I had him, I actually had him going to the Niners because I think with Chip Kelly's offensive scheme, I think that they need athletic offensive linemen. And I think he fits that mold perfectly and would be a perfect if he was able to fall to San Francisco. But, they also need defensive backs, so.
All right. Well, we're starting to run out of time, so we should probably hurry through these a little more.
All right.
We've definitely broken down these top eight guys pretty thoroughly for the time we have. But, all right, next up is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at number nine. I was thinking defense the whole time, but looking at my board of players, I think I'm going to go with a little shocker here. Might be a little bit of a reach, but I think it makes sense. I'll try and explain it. Corey Coleman to the Buccaneers. Wide receiver
like
Baylor.
It.
Just getting them a burner to go along with the two.
The size.
Outside.
No, I like that pick a lot. Yeah. That's actually – they don't need a guy like Treadwell, really. He's not really the tallest guy, but Coleman, yeah. Coleman would be a good fit there. I think he'd be great. So, well, with the New York Giants pick here, I was also thinking defense. And I'm going to take Sheldon Rankins, defensive tackle from Louisville here. I think that the Giants need some defensive help. They need defensive backs. They're not really going to find any at this point in the draft. So I think that they're going to take best available. They could take Mackenzie Alexander. But just for some reason, when I think Giants, I think of them taking defensive linemen here. So I went with Rankins and put him in the middle between JPP and see what you can get. I mean, after all, those Giants teams that won Super Bowls won it with their lines, not their defensive backfield. So.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I still would. I mean, maybe once again, I just have an affinity for defensive backs. But I don't know if I have one that I pull a trigger for at 10 yet. So I got the Chicago Bears. I don't know if I want to quite go to my next one yet. So maybe this is another shocking pick, but the Bears are going to take. Ezekiel Elliott from Ohio State.
All right.
And kind of try and, you know, get some offense going.
I like it.
Jay Cutler.
I like Ezekiel Elliott a lot, too, in this draft. I think he can do it all. Don't necessarily think he's a guy that's going to be leading league rusher in the league or anything like that. But I think he's definitely a guy. He can come pass block. He can catch passes out of the backfield. And he's a great runner. He's quick. He's explosive. Not sure if he's Todd Gurley game-changing. Can't say game-changing. I guess once-in-a-lifetime type running back. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Marshall Faulk. So I like it.
Yeah, no, he's definitely probably the only running back worth taking in the first round.
Yeah. All right.
So
New Orleans Saints on the clock here. Had a couple choices here, but I ended up going with Paxton Lynch, quarterback out of Memphis.
Ooh.
Here. I think that given a little time, a couple years, being able to sit behind a guy like Drew Brees would be very, very beneficial for him. And when Brees finally calls it quits, they'll have their guy.
I can't disagree with that logic. Sounds sound, but I think that the Saints would probably go in a different direction, or at least I would go in a different direction. While you've still got Drew Brees, you might as well give him as much help as you can. And a 12th round pick could probably go along with doing, or not 12 overall pick. But I think we're about out of time. I guess we're just going to have to pick up that pick with Miami time.
We'll just do our whole show with the mock draft next week. So.
And then